Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, have you ever noticed that the things you never wanted are considerably cheaper than others? We appreciate the opportunity of study again today. It's good once again to be able to greet you in the name of Christ. Let's get back now to our study. We've been talking about what the Bible says about the matter of unity. And that's what's really important. It's not what did some famous man have to say about unity. It is not what did some group of people say in regard to unity. The question really we're concerned about is what does the Bible say about that particular matter? Since the Bible is the standard of right and wrong in religious matters, that's really where we look to find out really what the truth is. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. And so we're looking for the truth as revealed in the Word of God. We've been talking about unity and the fact that it is a quite obvious thing that men and women are not really united in religious matters. There are many different churches. There are many different attempts on the part of people to follow what they believe to be God's Word. And so in every community, we have many different church buildings, and people, instead of all speaking the same thing and teaching the same things, are teaching different things, and they are disagreeing with each other about what God wants us to do. Well, we've suggested that that difference that exists between religious people is not a difference based on what the Bible says, but rather based on what the Bible does not say, and that men have supplied in addition to the Bible. Let me give you the illustrations that we used. Jesus wrote on the ground when the woman was brought to him who was guilty of the very act of adultery. What the Bible says is he wrote on the ground. We all agree on that. Every preacher in town, if he speaks what the Bible says, will say that very thing. But if somebody says, what did Jesus write on the ground? Friends, that's not what we are agreed upon. Some people say, well, I think he wrote one thing. Another says, I think he wrote another. But you see, as long as we just stayed with what the Bible said about it, we would all be speaking the same thing. And so the plea of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that we all speak the same thing, be of the same mind and of the same judgment, could be held true if we would just speak where the Bible speaks. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We have noted the fact that there are numerous passages in the Bible which condemn religious division. We noted a statement in Proverbs chapter 6 that there are six things that fall into the category of being an abomination to God. Then he amends that by saying, no, there are seven things that he wanted to talk about. These are abomination to God, repulsive. God wants no part of them. One of them, the one who sows discord among the brethren. Instead of unity, there's division. And division stands condemned before our Father in heaven. We were looking yesterday at the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17. This is the prayer where he talked about his disciples and prayed for them that they may be able to overcome the wicked one. But then he makes this observation in verses 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, that is the apostles alone, but for all of them who believe on me through their words. That includes us. We ought to believe on the Lord through the words of the apostles. When we read the Bible, we have the words these inspired men gave in regard to Jesus Christ. And so, the Lord was praying for us. But what was his prayer? That they all may be one. One means in agreement, not going your separate ways, not being divided, rather working together and being of one mind and one judgment. Well, he goes ahead to point out this. The unity I'm talking about is the kind of unity that exists between Jesus and his Father. I and my Father are one, Jesus said. And in this particular passage, he says, I want unity as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. I want that kind of unity to exist. But now look at the consequence of that unity not existing and the blessed result if that unity does exist. He says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, we're hearing a great deal from an infidel, and there are many of them in our country today, who seem to have a greater influence over our governing bodies than we've been able to have through the years through Christianity. But these infidels come along and say there is no evidence that there is a God. They, of course, deny all evidence. They close their eyes to all evidence and will not reason about it in a logical, profitable way. Now, I realize that someone will say, well, science proves there is no God. Friends, that's just not so. And when a person comes along and tries to intimidate by saying, every intelligent person in the world believes there is no God, they're just fooling you about that. Some years ago, a man who was a very faithful member of the church that Jesus built debated a famous, world-famous infidel. He called himself an agnostic, and he affirmed, and as time went on in the debate, he affirmed that there is no God. He moved before as an agnostic, but now he'd become a decider that there is no God. Well, as that went on, this man listened to arguments and dismissed them one after another. A few years ago, about 2004, this man, who is the leading infidel, or one of them, in our world, this man finally came to the realization that he'd been wrong all of these years about that, and said he wasn't willing yet to accept the God of the Bible, but he realized that the universe and all things that are therein could not have come into existence without divine wisdom. Without that wisdom being there, it is not possible. Now, when a person takes the time to consider it, you know as well as I do that the things that are round about us did not just happen. How much sense does it make when a person says, I'm a highly intelligent person, and I know that the things come from nothing, and that all we have in the world today just happened? I know this much. I know a house doesn't build itself. I know a clock doesn't make itself. There was the clock maker, and there was the house builder. The universe did not make itself. We appreciate the opportunity of study today. We remind you that it was Jesus who said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.